Welcome back to Hoops HD Under the Radar. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. This is our Thanksgiving Eve Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by a couple of puppets, David Griggs and Turkey over here.
Yes.
Oh, that's silly. Turkey's been pardoned in time for Thanksgiving.
All right. The turkey's been pardoned. We're going to find out whether or not Sleeka's going to get pardoned by the end of the show, too. That's a big... big thing we're going to find out sometime today, but
Chad, why am I in the bunker? I'm not on camera. I'm locked in the bunker.
Well, that's because David. This is Feast Week, David. You're supposed to be You're supposed to be giving us live updates, like Joe Lunardi, on your merit rankings.
Well, I don't understand why on Thanksgiving and Christmas I'm always locked in the bunker.
Well, it is. Look at all these tournaments, David. I mean, you're supposed to be watching every single game from every single one of these. Are you watching the Great Alaska Shootout right now?
Of course.
Okay. All right. Just double checking. What we like to do in this show here is we'll begin by redefining, for those of you who are new to the show, what it means to be under the radar. And then we'll go through the 22 under the radar conferences and talk about everything that's been going on in them the last week, as well as preview the week ahead. John, what I thought of you today, what does it mean to be under the radar?
Well, first of all, under the radar means you're a team outside of the major conferences. That would be the five BCS conferences, as well as the Big East, the Atlantic 10, the American, the Mountain West, and also the West Coast Conference for the second year. And the second rule is you cannot be in the top 25 of any of the rankings.
Well, we don't have to worry about any of these teams in any of these conferences being in the top 25 now. And we may not have to worry about that all season, the way things have gone so far early this year. Though there's a handful of undefeated teams left that could still put together the numbers that get them in the top 25. But we'd like to do is start every show with a feature conference. And tonight's feature conference is a conference which just had a game go final a few minutes ago here. We recorded this around 9:45 p.m. on Wednesday evening. We just had a final in from the championship game at Gulf Coast Showcase, where Georgia Southern snuck by Towson 70-67 to take that championship.
No, Towson won that game.
Except for Towson won that game. Okay. I am well prepared for this show right now.
We're already off to a great start.
Towson defeated Georgia Southern.
We can sure have
made a great run to the end, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
It was a good game. It seesawed back and forth. Couple teams that have jumped out of this league, one being Georgia Southern, who you just mentioned. They had some decent wins, one at Wake Forest, although who knows how decent that's going to be. And did really well in this tournament, didn't get the win tonight, but took a pretty good Towson team to the wall. The other team that has jumped out kind of to an early start is Texas Arlington. I know you like them, Chad, but did you like them this much? Did you anticipate that they could win at BYU and then perhaps win at Alabama? Had a shot at the end to win it. They had a lead for a lot of that game. Alabama, a top 25 team. Arlington going in there on the road, almost beating them.
Yeah, no, I kind of liked Arlington a bit. I had them right there near the top of the conference. I did not think they had any shot at beating Alabama and was just blown away by how they played in that game. Georgia Southern, this real nice run here. They had a big win earlier this year also over Wake Forest, in addition to what you see there with that corrected score. Really, really impressive start, though. I agree with you.
Yeah.
John?
Yeah, I'm impressed with Georgia Southern, and the other team I'm impressed with is Louisiana here that Chad actually has labeled as Louisiana Lafayette. They also took third place in the Cayman Islands Classic with wins over Iowa and Richmond, and also had a close loss to Wyoming in the semifinal round, but certainly a good start for the Raging Cajuns this year.
Yeah, right. A good start for them. Although, David, I would argue that both Iowa and Richmond are more deserving to be on the Under the Radar podcast this year, if not even below that podcast, the way they've played so far. So not exactly impressive wins other than the names of who they beat.
Yeah, not impressive at all. One of the teams that we did really like at least a week ago not impressive at all out in that same tournament that Iowa and Richmond were in. But we'll get to UAB and Conference USA a little later. Chad, you're not buying into the rebranding here of the University of Louisiana that's located in Lafayette, Louisiana, are you?
No, I have not yet bought into it. We still have ULM. I did note one of the notable results there. Louisiana Monroe losing to Northwestern State, who has already lost a game to a non-D1 opponent. So there's going to be some bad at the bottom of the Sun Belt once again this year, too.
Yeah. While we're looking at this conference a little more closely, what about Georgia State? They're a team that I kind of just have a feeling about. I think that they might improve as the year goes along, but haven't done anything out of conference to really jump into the under-the-radar top 10 or on the committee's radar, I wouldn't think. But they could be one of those teams. It's kind of a snake pit there in Atlanta, that it's one of these top teams, one of the top two teams in the conference could go there and have a hard time winning.
But in the meantime, we're also going to be mentioning Georgia State because they had a rather notable loss earlier today.
Yeah, well, who did they lose to earlier?
Prairie View.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. Prairie View winning a trophy.
Yes, speaking of trophies.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we have one more team to mention, and that's USA with a pair of wins over Maine and also St. Peter's to take the undercard portion of the Hall of Fame tip-off.
Correct. Another trophy there for the conference. So a couple involvement in some pretty good performances in tournaments, whether they won the trophies or at least won a pair of games. Texas Arlington coming up this weekend. It's in the visitors push the Barclays Center Classic. Gets Western Carolina and either Alabama A&M or Niagara. Niagara's played some decent basketball so far this year, but it's not going to be anything that's going to help the Arlington profile winning that event.
Right.
And you see Georgia Southern at Bradley against the Missouri Valley Conference team coming up on Saturday as well. So that's kind of the Sun Belt. So let's kind of back and go back to the very beginning here in the order and go back up to the America East, where we saw Vermont have a decent week, David, and taking home a championship in the Bahamas.
Yeah, real nice win against Northern Kentucky. Two really good teams in that championship game. Also, the only team to beat Bradley so far. Their only loss in the opener at Kentucky. So I still really like this Vermont team. On a possible top 50, top 40 inside the bubble level. Their next five games are on the road. And part of that stretch includes going to Bucknell, to Marquette. They also go to Richmond, which I don't know how much credit they're going to get for winning there. The committee might only give them like half a win for something because Richmond is so bad. But if you look at say they get out of that stretch and win all five of them, they will have won eight games away from home before December 10th. That is phenomenal.
That is phenomenal, and I think that this is one of those few teams that could potentially land inside the bubble, but they have to do something almost miraculous like that with all those road wins, John.
Yeah.
And a couple other upcoming games this week. You see Furman's going to be playing New Hampshire. Albany's going to be at Monmouth, although Monmouth is starting to struggle a lot more, having lost another game tonight. But New Hampshire gave Florida a battle. We mentioned that on Monday night during our Hoops HD report. So kind of keeping an eye on this New Hampshire team, still, even though they're off to an 0-3 start against Division I play, as you look at some of the standings on the screen there.
Right.
And I have this one circled for Albany because this gives them a chance to get five consecutive wins against D1 competition.
Yep. Well, that would be a nice one.
Over in the A-Sun, Gulf Coast had a rough week, Stalika. They not only lost to Middle Tennessee, but lost a tough one to Bowling Green earlier as well.
Well, we can forgive them losing to Middle Tennessee, seeing as how this is possibly a fellow top 10 under the radar team, but it's kind of harder to forgive a loss against Bowling Green, a team that a few days later struggled to beat non-D1 Lake Erie.
Well, they were going up against a great lake. If they just got up against a good one, one, then Bowling Green would have been fine, but they would have been a great one, David.
Right, yeah.
Let's take a look at some of the upcoming games in the A-Sun.
Do we have some news? A little bit of news, conference news here. South Carolina Upstate packing and leaving.
Yes, we did discuss it last week, but we could discuss it again, definitely. That the, once again,
Upstate is still I was saying is that you need to go back and listen to last week's show. All right, moving on.
You can go back and listen to last week's show to find out about the fact that Upstate is leaving the Atlantic Sun, heading over to the Big South. But like I said there, Gulf Coast have its games against Denver and Navy at home this week. They're hosting a round-robin event at their campus. And David, Monday night, leg one of the Battle of the Boulevard.
Yes, one of our favorite rivalries. And it's actually – Belmont's been dominating that series. And but Lipscomb much improved this year, but not as good as Belmont. I would expect Belmont to win both games again this year.
Well, Lipscomb was not as great of a team last year, but they came pretty close on both occasions to knocking off Belmont.
And it wouldn't, especially
the game in a couple of weeks where they go back, they're going to be on Lipscomb's campus. That's one that I really would circle even more so than Monday nights. Two teams, though, that should both be in the NCAA tournament, or could both be in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they both could be.
If Gulf Coast continues to struggle a little bit like we've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. Now to the Big Sky. David, anything you've seen out of the Big Sky that's really stood out this week?
Not so much this week, but overall been very impressed with Portland State. They are potentially a UTR top 10 team. I guess we'll find out. Going to Portland and winning a couple other big games away from home, and they have the opportunity. If they win their next three games, they're really going to be in good shape.
Yeah, I'm also keeping an eye on this Montana State team. They were my preseason pick to win this conference. They did win the Mayan division of the Cancun Challenge with the win over Southeast Missouri today. Although that was the visitors bracket, the lesser bracket there. Not exactly an impressive win to beat SEMO this year. Right. But some of the upcoming games, Idaho is...
Yeah, do you agree with me there, Chad, that if Portland State wins their next three games, they're in good shape?
Yeah,
they could win one of their three games and be in good shape.
Yes, if they win one of their next three games, they'll be in excellent shape.
Yeah, starting off with Duke tomorrow in the PK 80. Idaho's in the Great Alaska Shootout. They're playing tonight as we record this. Montana is at Stanford coming up. Stanford's been struggling. Could be a chance for an upset there.
Yeah.
Over in the Big South, where – conference that USC Upstate's on its way to. Also, news that we did not discuss last week, Hampton leaving the MEAC on its way to the Big South next year as well, David. But in terms of the Big South this week, it was a pretty bad week, honestly.
Yeah, not a whole lot going on here. Liberty got off to the 2-0 start, losing their last two games. Not a bad loss to a Houston team that's at least reputable, but I'm kind of surprised that Mercer beat them as badly as they did.
Yeah, as far as games coming up, Winthrop is going to be at Auburn's. John, I know you're going to be tuned into Toccoa Falls at Liberty to see how many hundreds of points Liberty puts up on them. But winnable game here, David, of High Point at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is awful. So High Point... Anybody that goes to Pittsburgh has a chance. It's a winnable game.
Big West, John. How about the Big West? I think we had a huge upset actually coming out of the Big West today, did we not?
Yes. Oh, Lord. Oh, John, yeah.
And then we also have another trophy that we're going to be handing out, and that's part of the visitors bracket portion of the Legends Classic. Not from today, but actually a pair of wins that UC Santa Barbara got over Pepperdine and Montana to win that portion.
David, they upset in Alaska today. Cal Poly, shocking College of Charleston. I was just shocked by that score.
Yeah, College of Charleston has essentially blown it. I know it's still the middle of November, but that just – they have no good wins on their profile, and maybe they'll get some between now and the end and pull themselves out of it. But they needed to win this tournament, not so much because winning it helps them as much as losing to anybody up there would hurt them. I don't want to take away from Cal Poly. They played really well. But Charleston overall disappointing this year. blasted at Wichita State. Now, you don't expect them to win, but you expect them to do better than that. And then either sweating out or not beating teams that we thought they would have no trouble with.
Yeah, very disappointed with Charleston so far. But some upcoming games in the Big West. You'll see Cal Poly gets Central Michigan coming up on Friday in the semifinals of Great Alaska. Also, a fascinating game. We mentioned this during the Hoops HD report also, this Nevada at Hawaii Friday night. I really think Hawaii can win this game.
Oh, I do too. I like Hawaii. Again, I like them as much as anybody else in this conference, maybe the most. So,
but I think we also have to circle the game at the top here because Michael Porter Jr. from Missouri now going to be out for the rest of the year and does give Long Beach a little bit of a window to possibly get a win tomorrow in the beginning of the Advocare Invitational.
And I don't agree with that.
I know this is more for the Hoops HD report about Porter being out for the year, but I do have good news. David, I heard there's a really, really good chance that he's going to be approved by the NCAA for a medical redshirt to keep all 4 years of eligibility.
Oh, yeah, and he should be. He falls within the parameters of it. So he'll not lose a year of college basketball. He'll get it back.
Okay, but let's move on here. Over in the Colonial, we were just talking about this Charleston team. But, you know, we are seeing some good stuff here, including Towson winning the Gulf Coast Showcase, as has now been corrected here. At least one of the three teams that we like this year playing good, I guess, with Towson. The other big disappointment, David, is Mulan with loss to Milwaukee, who they need triple overtime to beat Florida International. They lost to and Milwaukee lost to Concordia St. Paul.
Yeah, just not a good I mean, by either of them. Both of them, we were expecting to really – I was expecting College of Charleston to be good enough to land inside the bubble. They haven't looked at – even if they pull it together, are they going to have the opportunities that they need to end up there? But Towson's pretty good so far. And I know that we've said this before. I'll say it again. The condition that program was in when Pat Scarry took over was putrid. It was almost as bad as a transitional program, arguably worse than what a lot of transitional programs are. And look at them now. Not just this year, but just collectively over the last several years. One of the better coaching jobs, under the radar coaching jobs, or coaching at any level, what he's done with this Towson team. And it was kind of fun to see them get some hardware today.
One of the more notable wins you're not seeing on the grid here is Hofstra actually beaten Dayton in the Charleston tournament. They also had a couple tough losses against Auburn and Clemson as part of that field. But all in all, a decent outing for Hofstra here.
Yeah.
And here's some of the upcoming games. College of Charleston in the loser's bracket tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day is going to have to play Sam Houston State. Drexel at a former team of the people, NJIT, as well coming up. And one of the longest running rivalries, a battle of two Patriots, John, George Mason and James Madison.
Yep, of course, we could also say the same thing for Old Dominion and William and Mary coming on Saturday.
Yeah, those are some old colonial rivalries taking place during the colonial. I miss the old colonial. I really do. I want it back. That includes the
conference. Conference USA was almost our feature conference of the night, and with both good and bad here. Let's start with the bad. Let's start with the UA Blazers and their wonderful showing in the Cayman Islands, losing to Richmond, losing to Buffalo, losing to Iowa, eighth place.
Yes, we were railing on UAB for scheduling so weak when we thought they had such a good team. I would like to apologize to UAB and withdraw all that criticism. Your team is weak. Your schedule suits you just fine. Holy crap. Losing to Richmond, they should have just gone home and not played the next two games after that.
John, there has been some good here. First of all, Middle Tennessee, despite the loss to Belmont, picked up a nice win over Gulf Coast. It still has looked pretty impressive this year so far. Would you agree with that?
Yep, and a loss against crosstown rival Belmont is nothing to be ashamed of either.
No, it's not. Old Dominion, well, was technically, I guess, fifth place in Charleston. They did win two games there. Only one against only one loss. And Louisiana Tech, as we record this, they're in a tight battle in the championship game of the Riviera section of the Cancun Challenge against Evansville, having already yesterday picked up the win over George Mason, David.
Yeah, really good showing for them so far. I just got done talking about how good I thought George Mason was. La Tech goes and wins kind of convincingly. And if they win again tonight, you kind of have to keep your eye on them. But I know where you're going next. The team of this league is Belmont. And what happened just a few minutes ago? Wow.
We're not in the OVC quite yet, David. So we'll be getting there. You were in conference, you say.
This is our Thanksgiving show, by the way. Nobody's really on there.
This is Tim Floyd's conference. This is the conference where Southern Miss is currently fourth in the standings without a single D1 win. That's where we're at right now.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Yeah, you can forget what I said last week about picking them to win the tournament.
Yeah.
Some of the upcoming games, John, including next Wednesday night, Louisiana Tech at Alabama. If this La Tech team is good, this could be an interesting game here coming up next week.
Yep, we'll see if they're able to succeed where Arlington just failed.
Davidson and Charlotte, that rivalry. Another Colonial game there, ODU and William & Mary.
Yeah, all right. Horizon, one win that's not on this board, the game just went final. Detroit just picked up a 2-point road win at St. Louis. So I guess, David, let's start with that Detroit team. I don't think we're expecting much out of them this year, and that's a pretty good road win against a team that already has a win over Vatek.
Yeah, it is. And again, is it kind of an anomaly, or do they have some staying power? I mean, the teams we were kind of talking about in this conference were NKU and Oakland. Oakland having a rough time, although they're not quite at full strength yet. And the other thing, Milwaukee, one of the worst teams – well, the worst team in the conference last year, off to a 3-0 start against Division I, although the one they didn't win was very forgettable.
Yes, 3-0 against D1, 1-1 against non-D1. John, a rough week for Oakland, though. They lost to Syracuse. They also had the loss to Toledo. I know they're playing shorthanded, but can they bounce back from this?
Oh, I'm sure they can bounce back now because Jalen Hayes, his 4-game suspension is done, so he'll be cleared to play for the rest of the season.
And some of the upcoming games here, Oakland at full strength now is at Kansas coming up. Northern Kentucky at Memphis, another one. Oakland is going to be at Oral Roberts as well next week.
Don't be surprised if he squeezes Memphis. That's a good game right there.
David, Ivy League, we saw a pretty nice performance in the Gulf Coast Showcase from Penn, winning 2 games there against Northern Illinois and UMKC, only loss coming to Towson.
Yeah, John Stalica, we really liked Harvard. You did, and so did I, although you liked them more than I did, so you're more wrong about them. But, you know, you're always more wrong. But Penn, out of nowhere, looking as good as anyone so far. Now, I don't know if they'll keep it up, but John Tytel University doing really good.
Yeah, I'm never going to be used for an Ivy League school puppet.
Yale without McKay Mason for the season is probably not going to be in the battle there for the championship. Princeton has struggled, and Harvard losses to Holy Cross in Manhattan already. Why not Penn? That's right, kind of where I'm going so far. If you had to tell me who the best team is, what I've seen in the court so far, I'd go Penn to win this conference.
Yeah, I would as well.
Upcoming games, Penn is going to be at Monmouth and at Villanova, probably over their heads in that one, a little bit. Brown at Rhode Island, a nice battle. One of the battles of the state of Rhode Island, although not quite our favorite one there either.
Right. So, and again, like the roughest loss in that conference happened just a few minutes ago with Belmont. Oof, just not getting it done.
Again, wrong conference. David?
Yes. What? Do you disagree that it was a rough loss?
in the Metro Atlantic, John, how about the Metro Atlantic? Anything at all this week? You know, Quinnipiac's wonderful eighth place finish in the Paradise Jam.
Well, we had an unbracketed game that was part of the, what do you call it, the Las Vegas Invitational. Let's congratulate the Ryder Bronx on their 2-point win at the George Washington University.
Oh, brother. So can we replace – I mean, I know Xavier and Ryder have already played, but I would almost rather see them play Ryder again than play GW.
Yeah, it's – that's not it's not looking that great so far this year in the Metro Atlantic. We thought it would be a down year because a lot of the top teams are rebuilding. Some of the upcoming games here, David, Monmouth is hosting Penn and Albany. Marist is in the Advocare where they're probably in a lot of trouble.
that could go badly. Wow. I just hope they make it out of there. The Metro Atlantic tied in with the Advocare, a Metro Atlantic always participating in that tournament every year, swinging way over their heads this year. But who else could you send down there that would do any better?
And that's because of the Metro Atlantic has a huge Central Florida footprint, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a huge footprint. I mean, look, if you look at the locations of where all these teams are, they're all within a 2-hour drive from an airport that will take them to Florida.
Yes, direct flights to Orlando from all those airports, I guarantee it.
Yes, well, maybe not direct flights, but, like, you can get there.
Oh, trust me, you can get a direct flight to Orlando from pretty much any airport in the country.
Yeah, okay.
And we have a pair of rivalries coming up on Wednesday with a Big Four matchup with Buffalo and Niagara, and also the Franciscan Cup between St. Bonaventure and Siena.
Mm-hmm.
The Franciscan Cup, there we go. Sleek of bringing down another rivalry for us for this season.
We need to construct a Franciscan Cup and send it to the winner.
Sleeka, you're our Ohio guy, the Mid-American Conference. Two undefeated teams here, Akron and Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, not terribly surprising, even though Akron has moved on from the Keith Dambrot era. But another team that hasn't been updated yet is Mother Miami, who fell to 3-2 after a loss to Tulane tonight. They also went 1-1 during their trip down to the Bahamas, losing a game to Hartford and also picking up one other win along the way.
Yeah, David, the team that's most impressive obviously has been Toledo with the win over Oakland, the win over St. Joe's as well here.
Oh, for sure.
The RPI.
Yeah. I mean, eighth in the RPI, eighth in the strength of schedule. Categorically, they're not just in the field, Chad. That's categorically a protected seed.
That's a 2 seed, maybe a 3. Borderline 2. Yeah. Buffalo, needed overtime to get by UAB, lost South Dakota State. A little bit of a setback for that Buffalo team who we thought was going to be really good this year also. Right. And Western Michigan's been a complete disappointment. They were my preseason pick in this league. And
yeah, they've been
out of them so far.
And then again, like one of the worst teams, I mean, one of the bigger disappointments, not so much from a failure to perform, but just a heartbreak out of this league was Belmont. We saw what they did just a few minutes ago. Losing the crop. What the? Chad, we need to get rid of that buzzer.
All right. So the upcoming games in the MAC, not much other than that Buffalo-Niagara game that really stands out. Toledo is going to be at Kansas. Bowling Green hosting San Jose State. A good chance for a win. Real good chance for a win there. Pitt, San Jose. Yeah. MEAC time, and we had a huge win by North Carolina A&T over Jacksonville in overtime, 90-82, so congratulations going out, first of all, to North Carolina A&T. I believe they were a Centenary finalist last year, John, weren't they?
They were the Centenary runner-up, and they actually already have two D1 wins to lead the way in this conference.
Yeah.
Have we ever had a team go from the Centenary to the NCAA? We have not. It could be the first one.
It could be. That would be great.
Also, Bethune-Cookman gave Georgia Tech a real scare the other night. I think that goes a lot to say about this Georgia Tech team.
Bethune-Cookman.
But some of the upcoming games in the MEAC include NC Central and Illinois, Savannah State and Texas Tech. FAMU at Texas. I don't expect any wins this week, though, out of any of those games.
No, I think it's kind
of not in the PBS portion of their not in the PBS pledge drive portion of their schedule.
Yeah, in the Missouri Valley Conference, we've got three undefeated teams here. I've been very impressed so far, David, actually, with this Valpo team.
Yeah, Valpo. I've liked this Evansville team. They've actually been playing. A lot of these records are really impressive throughout the league, but they've also kind of just been eating at the bakery, just eating some cupcakes. Evansville leaving campus and picking up some decent wins, though. They're not just all bought. Northern Iowa is a little bit better than expected, although, again, most of their wins have just been easy wins at home. But now who's not impressive is Illinois State. I was kind of expecting more out of them.
Well, they did beat Angry Franks bunched out in South Carolina, though.
Yeah.
Missouri State, a little disappointing also with that loss to North Dakota State. They've already got Drake with a surprising win over Wake in the Paradise Gym. And as we record this again, Evansville is about 7 minutes left in the game against La Tech, and they're actually just taking a 5-point lead. So that'll be a huge one for them at the top of these standings.
That's what tournament challenge?
That is the Cancun Challenge.
Okay.
Some of the upcoming games include Loyola Chicago going up against Wilmington, Georgia Southern at Bradley, and starting Wednesday of next week, we start the Missouri Valley Mountain West Challenge series. Those are the first three games of that series, at least, and really not impressive in any of those first three games. But no, we'll talk about more in the Superstate HD report.
Right. I do like the Valley in two of those three games, though. I think UNI can beat UNLV, and I think Evansville can go to New Mexico and win. So
I don't agree with you on the UNLV thing, but I'm more on the UNLV bandwagon than anybody else in my hoops HD years.
Right. So. Well, so I mean, it's just wrong. It's no big deal. You're always wrong. So,
John, Northeast Conference, what have you seen out of it this past week that showed you what a wonderful conference it is?
I think the team of the week has to be Central Connecticut going on to East Carolina's floor and winning by 11.
Absolutely. How about those Blue Devils? Perennially one of the worst teams. They didn't even have a coach for the first few games of the season. But
Well, that's result number one. But result number two, we have to congratulate the Colonials of Robert Morris for essentially locking up the city championship of Pittsburgh with their 7-point win over Duquesne.
They did. Nice win for Bobby Moe. It's been a while since they won the city championship.
David, some of the upcoming games here, Fairleigh Dickinson is going to be hosting Princeton over this weekend. What could be a pretty interesting game? FDU could be
competitive. Yeah.
Against the Tigers. I think that'd be a fun one, actually. You may want to circle that on your calendar.
Yeah, it should be.
Next is normally the Ohio Valley Conference, but I guess we'll just skip that one.
Why would we skip that one? There's a lot going on.
David, go for it. You want to talk about it. It's all yours.
Belmont was so close to getting what would have been. And you made this comment before the show. You came on and said, well, you can't really penalize Belmont for losing at Providence, and you can't. But the problem is, if you want to be a consensus top 40, be a team that lands inside the bubble, you need to win games like that. So it doesn't hurt them in the sense that it's a detriment, but it hurts them in the sense that they needed to win a game like that. They're running out of chances, and, God, they almost won it. So – Belmont's profile pretty impressive. Going to Washington, losing by four, another game where they were right in there and arguably could have won. They had the win at Middle Tennessee. They've had a couple of other nice wins. They had the home win against Vanderbilt. But this one today would have been last year I lamented Monmouth losing at South Carolina under rather similar circumstances, actually. It was a shot at the buzzer. And I said all year long, like, had Monmouth won that game, do they land inside the bubble? And I think they would have. And are we going to be saying that again about Belmont this year?
Well, I got to say, the one thing they've got going for them is I don't see too much competition in the Ohio Valley. Jacksonville State's the other team I would circle. Nice win at Chattanooga this week, actually, in overtime. Since the mid-70s, I believe. But
that also means that they are the first ever winners of the Cayman Islands Classic Mainland Bracket.
Right. So Jack State, Ray Harper doing really well there, the former Western Kentucky coach and longtime successful Division II coach.
John, the upcoming games of the OVC this week, Belmont, like I mentioned, is going to be hosting Lipscomb. Then they also have a road trip next Wednesday to TCU. If they want to make up for that Providence loss, they can do it next Wednesday night.
They can do it, and Jacksonville State also has a chance to get some roadkill at Mississippi State on Sunday.
Ooh, that one would be big.
Moving on to the Patriot League here. David, I've been very disappointed in this Bucknell team so far.
Yeah. Look at the
record, is 2-4. They needed pretty much a miracle to pull out a win over Ball State tonight. I understand that they've had a killer schedule with North Carolina and Maryland and Arkansas losses already. The Monmouth loss opening night was a road game, but a home game against Ball State, they barely won.
Right.
And I'm sold on them anymore.
It's hard to be. And again, those four games, if you look at any one individual game, it's understandable you don't ding them. But when you add all four together, I think we were looking at it like, if they can get two of these and hold serve the rest of the year, which would have meant beating pretty much everybody, then you're looking at a team that could land inside the bubble, but not showing it in many of those games. Really good effort at Maryland. That was probably their best game of the year. And then struggling tonight at home against Ball State. I mean, are they in a pre-Thanksgiving food coma or something?
Funny thing is, we were talking about disappointments. I thought Chad was going to mention Colgate because of their near miss at Boston College.
Yeah, actually, they had a huge lead in that game right at halftime. But yeah. BC came storming back tonight, this afternoon. Some of the upcoming games, you see Bucknell will be at Stony Brook and at St. Joe's this upcoming week. They better win both of those, and they better win a lot more than that also. But John, let me give you the SoCon conference here as we pull that up on the screen. And anything you've been, I mean, what are your thoughts on what you've seen so far? Is it Mercer with their performance in the Paradise Jam?
Yeah, that's going to be with a pair of wins and getting – I'm going to pass.
You're going to pass. Okay. Well, David, why don't we just take a look at the upcoming schedule of the SoCon. We're still in that bad part of the season here. But we do have Furman, New Hampshire, and this UNC Greensboro team that's out to 4-1 start has a very winnable game at Wake as well.
Yeah. Anybody that goes to Wake seemingly has a winnable road game the way it's going. Winthrop at Furman, that would be that's going to be kind of a fun one, I think. Just because of the proximity of the teams, and that should be good. I still like this Furman team, even though Greensboro is clearly out to the best start, and they're probably going to get at least a brand name win this week.
David, let me stick with you over to the Southland Conference, where we've got a pair of undefeated teams here in SFA and Incarnate Word, who is a powerful 0-0 versus D1 competition.
Yeah, SFA, I don't think undefeated any longer. I think they lost their game tonight. But they were right in there for a little bit. Incarnate Word. Mississippi. How about Incarnate Word? 3-0 in their first year as a Division I, is a non-transitional team. And they have yet to play a Division I game as a full-blown Division I team.
And have you ever seen an undefeated team that was number 351 in the RPI? That is dead last.
Yeah, that is.
351 strength of schedule. Yeah. SFA 350 strength of schedule, not scheduling at all this year.
Right.
Probably did, John. The only thing we can talk about with the Southland is what Central Arkansas did against UCLA. They had that game won. They did. Mm-hmm. At the end.
Yeah, they had that one in the bag. I think they had, what is it, a 7 or 8 point lead with 4 minutes to play, but they were not able to seal the deal on the road, and they ended up going to overtime, but failed to get a notable scalp away from home.
Right. Some of the upcoming games, Lamar's going to be at UTEP. Incarnate Word at Gonzaga, that may be the end of that undefeated streak, David. The SWAC, John, go ahead. Take it away. I know you want to talk about them.
This one I will not be passing because Prairie View actually got a win themselves as part of the middleweight division of the MGM Grand Main Event. And as I believe Lee Delvecchio pointed out in an email thread, this is actually the second time the SWAC has won one of these exempt events, because Arkansas Pine Bluff a few years ago actually won the undercard portion of the Men Against Breast Cancer Classic.
Well, David, Prairie View wins over Eastern Kentucky and Georgia State.
Yeah.
If you look at the verse one column, the only two D1 wins of the entire conference. Might be time to throw away Texas Southern banners and start buying some Prairie View ones.
Maybe so. Yeah. Texas Southern, somebody sent me a link today. They have not played an out-of-conference home game in 4 years.
That doesn't surprise me, actually. Really doesn't. A lot of these teams in this conference won't play any home games until conference play. Or if they do play one, it's a non-D1 game that they may sneak in there. The Grand Prairie of Iowa battle also earlier in the week. Some of the upcoming games of the SWAC, though, Texas Southern is at Clemson, which may or may not be the same team as Clemson. And Alabama State, Cincinnati, Alcorn at Tulane. But, David, let me stick with you here. Head over to the Summit League. Well, there's another team that we weren't talking much about yet that I was impressed with what they did in the Cayman Islands this week.
Yeah. I mean, it was. North Dakota, and of course, you're talking about North Dakota State, aren't you?
No, talk about South Dakota State. They picked up wins.
That's what I was confused about, but they did real well.
Okay, we were talking about South Dakota, not South Dakota State.
Well, I was talking about South Dakota State.
Okay, well then, never mind. Let me go ahead and move over to Stalika then. Stalika, your thoughts on the Summit League?
Oh, I was right, and I get buzzed. What the hell is that about? All right,
did we lose Stalika?
Right.
Well, we'll go ahead, David.
But yeah, good showing down in the Cayman Islands. That was a good tournament, actually. Well, how about the Leathernecks? Look at the Leathernecks.
Yeah, big one versus D1.
Yeah, and the D1 team they beat was Eastern Illinois, I think. No, it was Edwardsville.
Stalika. Key upcoming games next Wednesday. We got a front range contest here. Wyoming at Denver.
The Cowboys of Wyoming going to Denver. They failed to take advantage of their shot against Cincinnati, but still got two impressive wins themselves as far as the Cayman Islands. But we will be getting into that in a separate podcast.
I guess let's head to the last, but certainly not least, we have the Western Athletic Conference. Our Lopes, our beloved Lopes, off to a 4-0 start against some pretty weak competition, David, but 4-0 is 4-0, correct?
Yeah, they are. New Mexico State getting the wins against New Mexico and Colorado State. You know, the Aztecs looking about as good as anybody in the Mountain West right now, but they don't play in the Mountain West. They play in the WAC. but good start for them.
I was impressed by UMKC in two losses, but two close games with Georgia Southern and Penn. They were very competitive, so just going to keep an eye on them while they didn't pick up any wins. And, John, you did circle it there. The team of the people, 2-0 this week. First of all, a revenge win over UC San Diego, the team that knocked them out of the D2 tournament, then a dominating win over New Mexico last night. How about those Lancers?
Yep, and they are actually going to be part of the WAC beginning in 2018 and 19. And we also have a bonus team out of the Pac West as well, and that's a Chaminade's win against Cal earlier today.
Yeah, but that's not.
David, we've got to address it. It's under the radar. We're talking under the radar schools. You don't get further under the radar than Chaminade. How about the Silver Swords?
Well, what about? I mean, yeah, I think they're one of the better teams in the Pacific West, but they're not as good as the team of the people. They're not the team of the people. Beating Cal isn't that hard. Had Cal Baptist played Cal, they would have beat them too.
Yep, and it's also noteworthy to point out that in the regional rankings, Cal Baptist is number one in the West region in D2.
They are. Oh, they're on their march to greatness.
Two games coming up this week for the Lancers, hosting Missouri S&T and hosting St. Martin. So hoping for two more victories there, as well as you see some of the other upcoming games in the WAC. But I guess on that note, why don't we move over to our under-the-radar top 10 lists if we're ready for them?
I think we are.
And David, how does that look?
That is, I agree with everything that's on there so far. Let's just get started.
We have our drum roll, and here they are, the number one under the radar top 10 team, Catamounts.
Yeah.
You know, despite the one loss, it was on the road at Kentucky in a competitive, very competitive game.
They had a chance to win it. Yeah. So they weren't my number one, but I don't have a problem with it. So.
And John, coming in at number two is Belmont. The Bruins, despite the loss today, still held on at number two, and I don't knock them down. This was one bit for the way they played today.
We would knock them down, and that's even though we've submitted our ballots before that game went final with Providence.
Yeah. Oh, my God. They needed that one. No,
I just mine afterwards. So, number three is Middle Tennessee. The Blue Raiders have a win over Belmont. If you have them back to – I've lost to Belmont, I'm sorry, but have wins over pretty much everybody else they played, including Gulf Coast.
Right. This is a good team. I wasn't expecting them to be that good, but they've shown it so far, and they've certainly looked better than UAB. So Georgia
despite the loss tonight, John. Yeah, Georgia Southern getting in number four, although this ballot was completed before that game went final, but I'm Towson, real good team too, so I've been real impressed with Georgia Southern so far.
Yeah, I guess we're not as impressed with wins against Wake anymore.
Yeah,
John, number five.
I understand how Georgia Southern's ahead of them, but okay. Texas Arlington.
Texas Arlington coming in at number five with another team that lost a real close game. And NKU coming in at number six, the one team that lost to Vermont in the finals of the Gulf Coast Showcase. Mm-hmm. Our number seven team is that Towson team that just lost to Georgia Southern, that just beat Georgia Southern tonight. Should probably be ahead of them. And Oakland coming to number eight. And David, I disagree with this completely. I did not have Oakland on my top 10 at all.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't look at earlier in the week. And yeah, is it surprising that they didn't beat Syracuse? No. Is it surprising that they got blasted the way that they did? Yes, I think it was. This was a team that last week, I think, was number one.
It was. And just the way they got blasted, exactly like you said, plus the loss to Toledo, that's what knocked them out for me. I think this team will be back near the top at the end of the year.
We have a developing situation.
What?
Winner in the Cancun Classic, and that would be Louisiana Tech on a buzzer-beating three-point shot.
Oh, wow. I didn't have it on.
Yeah. La Tech just won at the buzzer. I think they may be checking the clock right now, but we'll get a confirmation of that before we're done here. But, yes, that was just an incredible win. Another incredible buzzer beater tonight. But, John, let's look at the last two in the top 10. We have Toledo. And based on that win tonight, making the top 10, Louisiana Tech. Congratulations to them.
Going up a couple spots.
How's that for getting on a top 10 list? Because we are completely up to date as we record this.
Right. David, this may have been one of the worst shows we've ever done, but it's one of the best shows because it's one of the worst shows.
David, here's our honorable mentions. Jacksonville State, Hawaii, Gulf Coast, Valpo, Evansville, Portland State, South Dakota State, and Bucknell.
Yeah.
I guess on that note, let me ask each of you if you have any other final thoughts for the evening. And, John, let me start with you.
I think Chad came up with a trick question earlier when he said there would not be any non-conference games hosted at Texas State this year. I can safely say that is not the case because Houston is actually going to be playing games at Texas State this year while their own arena, Hofheinz Pavilion, is actually getting renovations of their own.
Stalika? That would be Texas Southern, not Texas State. Let's get our Texas schools correct. David, your final thoughts.
The show. We can't seem to get anything correct tonight.
Yeah, why don't we just go ahead and end this? All right. We don't know who won or who lost in any of these games. There's probably a second left here in the Cancun game even so. On that note, have a great Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. You and I, could they be – could they be the breakout team? They lead to SMU right now.
They could be. We'll find out all that and a lot more in the next few days. Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone.